Rock Station, T95, the rock of Wichita for 40 years.
Hello, T95.
Hey, it's Steve Gorman.
Hey, Steve, how are you, man?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic. Boy, you're up kind of early out there on the east side after being on Seth Meyers last night.
Well, you know, they tape it a little earlier than it aired.
So fair enough.
Not quite as dramatic as you might think.
Fun story. Like, I was kind of thumbing through your book last night, and I had the TV on in the background, and I hear your name, and I look up, and I was like, oh, that's, I'm talking to him tomorrow. Just a really random occurrence.
My effort, I'm trying to blanket your life with the magic of me.
Well, it all came at a good time, man. Steve Gorman, one third of the former Black Crowes, on the phone with me. How are you this morning, man?
All is well. I mean, as far as I know, all is well.
Well, sometimes ignorance is bliss, so if you don't know about the bad stuff, just leave it be, right?
Well, if there's a grease fire somewhere, it'll catch up to me soon enough. I'm not going to go looking for it.
First of all, everyone knows you, obviously, from the Black Crowes, probably on the large aspect of things. You have a new book out, Hard to Handle. Man, I haven't gotten through the whole thing, but it's an intense read.
Well, it was an intense band, that's for sure, and it was an intense experience, so... Yeah, I certainly felt it was important that the book reflect that.
As fans, you know, we were all kind of decimated when everything fell through, when everything officially fell apart. Mm-hmm. And I know in a lot of ways, you know, we didn't really understand or get the full story. This book, I feel like, is a good final exclamation point on that career.
Well, that was definitely the idea. And the band, when the band did officially, you know, close up, shop. It was when the band exploded in 2014. It just left such a bad taste in my mouth. But anybody's that worked for the band or was in the band, it was just such a silly and almost a really embarrassing way for it to finally, you know, kill itself. And there was that, and then at the time it was very upsetting, and everybody. There was a general sense of anger from everyone, myself included, for sure. A few years passed, and then when Eddie Harsh, our old former piano player, when he died in 2016, in the months following his death, I found myself thinking about writing a book more. And I think that what had happened was my anger had really given way to just more and a more honest emotion, which was sadness. But I was at peace with it, and I accepted that it was always going to be a bit of a sad story, considering how great the band had once been and what a great experience it initially was. And so when that was apparent, I thought, well, I could write this book now. I never wanted to write an angry or bitter screed. There was a lot to be very happy about, and there's a lot of things I'm very grateful for. And it just took a while to find a natural place where it sat inside me where I could then go sit down and write.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotion in the book, and you know, when you consider the story, you know, the probably uncomfortable relationship you were dealing with Chris and Rich during that time, there's some points in this book that are incredibly funny too.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of funny moments and a lot of fun moments, and everybody in the band did have a fairly sharp sense of humor, different tones and different types, but there was a lot of humor just around at all times. And that humor was responsible in large part for the band sticking around so long. We needed it because some of the dark things were so dark. If there wasn't a great set of laughs within a couple of days, you know, things would have unraveled much quicker.
Yeah. You really had some, probably one of the widest spectrums of lows and highs during that time. And I would imagine, mm-hmm. One of the higher points, and it's one of the chapters that I gravitated right toward, is the Jimmy Page story.
Right.
He contacted you guys about doing a show, and I have to imagine, like, I was grinning just thinking about how fanboy you were probably going in that moment. Like, how
sure.
fanboy did yeah. you absolutely go when Jimmy Page called you on the phone?
Oh, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, we'd met him several times. We'd hung out with him. He'd actually jammed with us at one of our shows before. So we were very familiar with him and comfortable with the idea of being around him. When the call came to go play a show with him as his backing band, that was a different level. That's not two songs. You're just whipping out some blues covers. This was, oh, we're going to go rehearse and play some Led Zeppelin songs with Jimmy. So that was really exciting. And I mean, that, you know, that was, we got that call 2 months before that show. So the next 2 months, it just flew by. You know, it's like, well, all bets are off. Whatever happens in the next 2 months, at least we're playing with Jimmy Page.
You know? Right.
So, and at the time, I was planning my exit from the band. So, I mean, I saw that one night in London with him as like, there's my going away present. You know, this will be fantastic. I mean, and then again, you get in with him, we start working with him, and it's totally normal and natural, and we're there to do the job. It's before and after those moments that you kind of, you can feel yourself kind of freaking out a little bit. But when it happens, it's the most natural thing in the world.
You kind of have like an out-of-body experience almost when you're in those moments, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and you also, you know, you got to, you know, he called, and we'd already been the Black Crowes, like a world touring band for 9 years. It wasn't like we were going to get there and not make it happen. But at the same time, you know, I was never one to act too cool to let people know how excited I was, especially about something like that.
I'm not totally finished with the book. It's been so good when I'm scrolling through it right now. But I don't know. I assume you address this pretty astutely in the book. But like, when was that moment when you definitely knew that the band was done?
Well, I mean, it was one moment. It was when we toured in 2013, and you know, for 9 months of that year, we were on the road, and without much drama at all, very few arguments in any direction, but specifically from between the brothers. And we got home from that tour, and then we had the 2015 tour, which would have been the 25th anniversary of the first album, as well as a farewell tour. We had it all planned and agreed upon that we would go out and do one final tour and do this one right. And then at the end of it, we could stand there together, shake hands and say, Godspeed, go have a great life. At least we finished, with a modicum of dignity. And that was all set to go. And then Chris decided that Chris emailed his new demands. After 27 years, he informed his brother, Rich, and myself that, you know, since he's the only draw and the only person that anyone cares about, he needs all the money from the tour, basically.
Wow.
What had been a partnership up to that point suddenly became to him an opportunity for him to demand the lion's share and then some of all the profits from our final tour. And of course, we said no, and that was the end of the band. So, you know, in addition to being angered and bewildered, it was just embarrassing. I mean, it's the strangest ending of a band after that long in rock history, I've got to think. I mean, usually the greed play comes much earlier in a career.
I don't know if you fully address it, but if you had the opportunity to go back and, say, do it all again, one, would you do it? And two, would you change anything about it?
Well, if I could go back, you mean 30 years and do the whole thing again? Yeah, of course I would, because that's, you know, I signed up for it. I jumped right in. I mean, I asked for all of this, so I can't say I wouldn't do it over. As far as what would I do differently, I know there's nothing I could have done differently to have changed the outcome. I mean, in a certain sense, the band really died in 1997 when Johnny Colt and Mark Ford left the band in the same week. And the cleanest break for me would have been at that time, you know, like that would have been the time to say it was so clear, even in the moment, it was obvious. We need to stop. We need to take a long break, and everybody has to go get their lives together and their head together. And, you know, Johnny and Mark were gone, and the rest of us that stayed had no interest in doing any of that. I think we were just way too afraid to face reality to an extent, and we kept it going. And we still were a good band, and we still made good records, and, you know, things were fine in the grandest of schemes. But as far as what made the Black Crowes special, it was never the same again. And so if anything, you know, if you put me right back in 1987 and the movie starts over, it just ends in 1997 for me, not 2013.
So you wouldn't take your advice of, what is it, like the second chapter, it says, don't join this f-ing band.
No, I think I would. I would have, because, you know, it was. I asked for it. I knew, you know, as much as I knew that it was always going to be a dysfunctional mess, I also, there was something about that local band, Mr. Crow's Garden, when I joined, you know, there was a vibe. We had something, and it was intangible, and it was real, and it clearly showed itself a few years later when we made our first record.
Well, if you if our listeners want to know more about it, Hard to Handle, the memoir of the Black Crowes, in stores now. You're not just an author now; you're also in a new band, Trigger Hippie. You guys have a new album out tomorrow, actually, right?
That's exactly right. Full circle and then some. It's out tomorrow. Everywhere you get music, digitally, or you know, you can get a CD or an album if you're still, you know, living in the past like I am.
That's you know, I recently started a vinyl collection, so I may be looking for that on vinyl if it's out there.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not someone who flies the flag and wants to fight about it, but vinyl does still sound better than anything else. You just get way more dynamic and depth in the music. So if you're into vinyl, we are here to serve you. You can find it. You know, it's very easy to, you can go to triggerhippie.com and get all the information you need, including tour dates and all that kind of stuff.
A new lineup with this album, correct?
Yeah. The first album came out in 2014, and we did a lot of dates in 14 and 15. And it was clear from the jump that was not a band that was built to just continue to play and focus on Trigger Hippie. It had always been a bit of a loose concept. What happened was Nick and I, the bassist who I started it with, he and I really wanted it to harden into a full-time band. And it was pretty clear that we needed to find different people if we were going to do it that way. We could have kept going and done it on weekends and the occasional festival here and there, but we wanted to make this something we were putting a lot more effort into. And you know, everybody's got their own lives and their own careers, and we had to find people that were more into that same concept. You know, we don't have the grand design, but we wanted to get people in a room that were willing to put one together with us. And we feel like we've got that now. So this is the second album, and it's the first album with us with more of a sense of we're going to do this now full time.
And it really does translate in the music. It really sounds like you guys are having fun with this.
We're having a blast with this. You know, we took our time too. You know, it's good to be patient and wait for the exact right people to come in and wait for the right songs that all fit together. We had a really good time, and I'm as proud of this album as anything I've ever done.
Trigger Hippie's album, Full Circle and Then Some, out tomorrow. Stores, vinyl, digital, everywhere you can get it. Is it triggerhippie.com or Trigger Hippie Band?
It's triggerhippie.com.
All right. Hard to Handle, a memoir for the Black Crowes, out in stores now. And apparently, are you hanging out with Seth Meyers for the rest of the week?
Yeah, well, tonight's the last night.
All right. So if you want to see...
Started Monday, so this is the fourth one.
Yeah, if you want to see Steve hanging out with Seth Meyers, you got one more night to catch that. Do that tonight.
Great. Thanks, man.
You're welcome, Steve. Thank you so much for calling us.
See ya.
T95, happy birthday. I hope it's better than anybody else's. Rock on.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, T95.
Celebrating 40 years in Wichita, the Rock Station. T95.